Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Buffalo Sabres GM Jason Botterill joins Shope and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. And by Fallsview Casino Resort, Niagara Falls, Canada.
All right, indeed. It's a Sabres game night and an early season one. So our first visit with Sabre GM Jason Botterill. I'm the Bulldog. Paul Hamilton is here riding shotgun in place of Mike Shope. Jason, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Nice to see you.
Very good to see you guys. Beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. I got out on the lake on a boat this afternoon.
That's fortunate.
I'm
very
a boat
fortunate.
Guy now.
And what are you doing here?
Well, you know, Mike's in Florida, you know, so I had to come. Congrats on the start. I don't know. Is that a weird thing to say after only four games?
No, look, we're certainly happy how training camp all went. We're excited about the start of the season, and I think – you know, what's good about our team right now is we're finding ways to win hockey games, but there's certainly a lot of points that our coach and staff can go over with our players and what we have to improve on. But you take a step back, and especially last Saturday, just the atmosphere in the building, having all our captains back, it was good. It was a fun experience. I think hopefully our fans really enjoyed it. I know our players did. You know, something small like Jack being out there with all those other captains. It was a great experience to sort of reflect on things. So it was a good way to start the season off. Now it's imperative that we continue to build off of it.
Jason, how about your new guys? A guy like Joakim Harju, here's a 20-year-old in Pittsburgh, first night.
Yep.
He's killing penalties. He's out in pressure situations right away. Yep. I mean, there's no hesitation. I talked to Colin Miller yesterday. He's talking about how he's helping Rasmus Dahlin and almost like a tutor for him. Just any questions that he has, and he's helping him, and he enjoys that role.
Yep.
He likes to do things. He goes, I really haven't had a chance to do that in other places I've been in, and is relishing it. So, Mike, when you're trading for those guys or signing a guy like Johansson, who also is a guy that guys have talked about in the room,
yep.
Is that part of it when you're looking to trade for guys, or especially in these three cases, that you know exactly not only what you're getting on the ice, but what these guys are going to contribute to the team off the ice?
Oh, without a doubt. We obviously know we have some very talented players in our organization that don't have playoff experience. So the fact that we can go out, we're looking to add players to our skill level to help out how we want to play the game. But to bring in a player like Marcus Johansson, who was in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals last year, I think he's been in playoffs 8 of his 9 years in the National Hockey League. That's experience that's going to help our team out a lot. Colin Miller, you know, 2 years ago playing in the Stanley Cup Finals in Vegas there. We know as much as we like our start, we're going to face adversity over 82 games. We have to do a better job of, as an organization, when adversity hits, we play with a little bit more calmness and a little bit find a way to get through those difficult stretches. So that's why we are bringing these, you know, veteran players in that can help out our group here. With a player like, you know, Henry Joakim Harju, what we really liked about seeing him last year, you know, 19 years old last year, and he wins a World Junior gold medal and a World Championship gold medal. So although he's very young, at 20 this year, he's already played a half season in the National Hockey League, played in pressure situations and handled it very well. And I think, you know, you saw that in Pittsburgh, but what I really liked was his game, you know, on Wednesday against Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things get a little hectic there, 4-4. He's still skating extremely well. He's still making those breakout passes and just allowed us to get out of our zone. And it's great to see our players playing their game in tight situations like that.
It's funny, your coach said today when we ask about him, he goes, I'll be honest with you, he goes, until you actually brought up his age, mm-hmm. he goes, I don't think of him as a 20-year-old. He goes, I don't go into the game thinking, well, he's at 20 years old. I wonder if I, he goes, I expect whether you're 20 or 35, if you're on the team, we're going to put you in situations and we expect you to be able to handle the situation. He might be the first coach I think has ever said that, because a lot of coaches won't play 20-year-olds. They'll sit him on the bench.
Yep.
And he's like, honestly, until you ask the question, I don't even sit there and think that he's a 20-year-old.
Yep. And that's what we like with a lot of our younger players. Henry's included in that, Rasmus Dahlin. These guys are very mature for their age. And even you know, a player like Casey Mittelstadt, the development path has been a little steeper the last couple of years just because you're coming from Minnesota High School all the way to the National Hockey League. But he has a much better grasp of what he needs to do to have success on the ice. And you just see the way how he conducted himself last summer, you know, in the weight room, working on his body, that we eventually think is going to transfer over onto the ice. So I like that our players have been serious about making sure they're in good shape and ready to take on those opportunities. And I've been very happy with our coaching staff that they've had the open mind to put those young players. If they're ready for it, they're going to be in those situations.
Ralph Kruger's name came up before you hired your first coach, Phil Housley. Mm-hmm. And that sounded like a really intriguing, very interesting idea to, I don't know, some of us, me included. Like, I thought, like, okay, out of the box. I think this is pretty exciting. And, of course, it didn't happen. Last year, word before you hired him was that it might be more of an executive role if he returns to the NHL. And here he ends up, he's behind your bench. Like,
yep.
I'm sure you've told the story already, but I just it's our first chance to sit with you since you hired him. Like, how did that kind of come together? Because on one hand, it might look like you convinced him to take the job, and that's not always a great idea.
Yep.
So, like, tell us a little bit of the background of how, like, Ralph came to end up being your coach.
Well, there's some storylines in there. Obviously, I grew up in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Ralph grew up in Manitoba. My father actually taught Ralph in grade 5. At a private school in Winnipeg there, and but I'd never really spent that much time with Ralph, hadn't interacted with him. And when I got the position here in Buffalo, Jim Rutherford suggested I talk to Ralph. Jim Rutherford, while he was in Carolina, had worked with Ralph. He was on their scouting staff, and when Ralph was a head coach with Team Switzerland, he also did some part-time scouting with the Carolina Hurricanes, and just felt that he could be a good mix with myself and what we're trying to accomplish here in Buffalo. Obviously, at the time, Ralph still was on the working on this project in Southampton, couldn't come over. So we moved on from there, but we certainly stayed in touch through the process. And then after we made a decision last April, I did reach out to Ralph, and we had a conversation in New York that there wasn't an NHL job on. You could tell that he enjoyed being an executive at Southampton and enjoyed that experience, but at the end of the day, Ralph has a very creative resume the last few years. But yeah, at the end of the day, he's a kid from Manitoba who loves the game of hockey. And I think that's when we started talking is how we see the game, how we want this team to play, how we want to interact with our players was very similar from that standpoint. And I think that's what our players really resonate with right now. There's a simplicity to Ralph. There's an ability for him to talk to them. But also, I think our players realize how excited he is about being in Buffalo and being a head coach and being on that front line right now instead of in the boardroom dealing with owners, dealing with agents, something like that, helping players become the best they can in the front line. And I think that passion that he sees, our players feed off of that, and it's been a very good experience so far.
Do you think if he hadn't come to the conclusion that he wanted to get back behind a bench, you would have found a role for him as an executive somewhere in the organization?
I couldn't even tell you that for sure. Just look, all our conversations had always been around, yeah, coaching, and that's where I felt his passion. That's what he wanted to do. He was excited about that. I think in the back of his head, you'd have to ask him straight up. But at the end of the day, his first go around in the National Hockey League didn't go as planned. I think what I've always really enjoyed with Ralph is people go through a lot of experiences. Sometimes they don't always pull information or learn from that. Ralph, whatever experience he's been through, whether it's coaching a Premier League team, coaching the Olympics, coaching the World Championships, coaching the NHL, he learns from it, and I think he does a great job of passing that information on to other people in the organization and, more importantly, his players.
How challenging this year is salary cap management going to be for you? I know you've been able to use some dollars with long-term injury reserve, and I don't know for sure, but I would imagine Bogosian will get back sometime or another.
Yep.
So how challenging is that going to be for you this year to be able to manage the salary cap that maybe you haven't had those problems in past years?
No, and we certainly understood that when we made the decision to sign Marcus Johansson that we'd be close to the salary cap. And, you know, it's, but we also felt that his addition was necessary for our team to take a step this year. And I think the thing that we've tried to set up is we certainly want to have the ability each summer to add to our team and be able to keep our young players that are coming through our system. But we also want to have that flexibility. So that's part of the reason why we have a lot of, you know, contracts that are coming off the books each year. And so from we understand you look around the league. It will be an issue for us, or at least it will be part of the discussions throughout the year. But it's you look at so many of the top teams. You look at so many teams without the link. They're all going to be right at the very top. So I do think it's going to go. It's going to come into play a lot from a trade perspective. It's going to have to be dollars in, dollars out. There's not a lot of teams that are going to just be able to take on extra salary unless they run into a significant long-term injury.
Will it affect to a point where you have to wait until a certain time of day where you call somebody up, or isn't it that critical?
It's not that critical right now for us, but you always want to keep your options open. That's why we made some adjustments before the season started in Pittsburgh. That people may not always understand, but it just gives us the flexibility moving forward there, because you just never know what can happen in the future. And we always want to have that balance to me making the smart decision from a salary cap perspective, but we never want to make sure that it doesn't hurt our product on the ice, and make sure that our team is always covered from that perspective.
Paul mentions Bogosian there. Before the season started, Ralph Krueger said something to the effect of there were setbacks since he had the procedure he had. Is there a timeline on him at this point, or is it just out there?
It's just out there for right now. Coming off of hip surgery, you're always going to run into, it's a difficult rehab. It's a serious injury, and it's a serious surgery. And obviously it's been documented, the injuries that Zach's had. We're very key and very focused on making sure when he does come back, he's 100%, not only for our team this year, but also for his career long term.
All right. He's another defenseman. Montour is much shorter term, right? Like, yep. It's a few weeks now,
yep,
that he'll be back. I'm wondering eventually, I guess the salary cap question Paul asks sort of builds into this too, but you've got a lot of bodies back there.
Well, it's always a concern, and then you ran into the injuries that we have already. And that's what we talked a lot during the summer, that we ran into a lot of injuries before even game one of the regular season this year. So you have to be ready for that. And that was one of the things that we sat down as a group a lot during the summer, talked about adding to this group. We didn't handle things as well as we wanted to in the second half. We didn't need a whole revamp, but we wanted to add it to it. That's why we brought in a Jimmy Vesey and Marcus Johansson. That's why we added more depth in Henry Yokiharju and Colin Miller. And it always seems to see, like, you look at, I think we have 9 games in the first 17 days. Our players get banged up. And especially in this season, I think our players are really looking forward to going over to Sweden. And I think it's going to be a great experience for us to go over there. And the NHL does a very good job in sort of helping us with the schedule before or after that. But it really condenses our other games and the rest of the time. And it's going to be imperative that we have the depth at every position. And it's part of the reason why tonight we have Allmark and Nett. It's not going to be like who's our number one goalie. We're going to have to utilize both of them throughout the year.
Right. Rasmus Dahlin, he's got 7 points through 4 games. I don't expect him to end up with 140 on the season. I mean, that'd be great, but, you know. But
we'll take that if he wants to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, good. How much, though, more can you expect from the guy? Like, it dawned on me talking the other day, maybe with Rob Rager in one of these shows. I don't know. Like, the draft year is unlike any other year. You know, you play your season, and then there's, especially when you're the anointed number one pick, there's just stuff, right? And it never really ends, and then the season's here. And, oh, by the way, it's an 82-game season. Welcome to the pros, kid. I think, you know, after an off season of being able to just be 19 and train and work, I wonder if you see a difference in him already just from having had, like, a normal off season as opposed to all the stuff that went with being the number one pick.
No, you certainly see it, and that's what we love. All our coaches love working with Rass, is just because he knows what he has to work on. He wants to put the time in, and I think just from a physical standpoint, his lower body strength, he looks bigger and stronger out there. And I'm a big believer in the World Championships. If you're not in the playoffs, I think you should get used to playing hockey in the springtime. And I think, I thought it was a great experience for someone like Sam Reinhart to go over there and Jack to go over there this past year. But I also think it was great that Rasmus Dahlin didn't go this past year. You know, you look at that lead up to the draft, there is so much going on, for especially someone like that in Sweden, coming back over to North America, going back and forth quite a bit. The excitement, the draft, and you come in for development camp and everything, and then you have the rookie tournament. And I think, Rasmus will say, like, people can talk to you about the grind of the National Hockey League over 82 games, but until you actually go through it, it's difficult to comprehend. And Rasmus was just like our entire team. We have to be better from that All-Star break on. And what I like about him is he's certainly learned from it. He understands a bit more, and he's always going to have the hockey sense in the brain. And I think just adding that extra strength is going to help him a lot more down low in the offensive zone, handling positioning. And he has such a great brain, too. It's one that added strength, but now he also knows some of the moves of other players. So he's building sort of a resume, a book on, you know, how do I defend him against some of the top players out there and stuff. So every time, he's still going to make mistakes. He's a young kid. It's part of the growing as a young defenseman. But his ability to learn from those mistakes is very impressive. And that communication with both Steve Smith and Ralph Krueger, it's why he's a very talented player and very fortunate to have him in our organization.
Fans want Casey Mittelstadt today to be where he's supposed to be as a player. And you know development of young players. I use Nate MacKinnon as a perfect example of a guy who played 4 years before he ever touched 90 points. He was around 50 or so. Couturier, Philadelphia, is another example. Could Casey fall into that too, where maybe it's going to take him 3 or 4 years to reach the potential he is, and just because he doesn't do it this year doesn't mean, well, it's all said and done, let's move on?
Yeah, players are always going to adapt and develop at different time frames here, and especially a player coming out of Minnesota High School and making that leap. And, you know, it took time for Jack Eichel too, but Jack was a physical specimen stepping into the National Hockey League at age 18 and 19. Casey had to work on his physical body and stuff, and I think he certainly did that over the summer. It's always the expectations too. Like, Casey comes in at the end of the season, produced some points there out of after his freshman year at Minnesota, and it's difficult. It's sometimes not the truth, not reality of it, and how difficult the season, once you get to the start of the regular season and going through all 82 games, how difficult of a grind it really is. And what we've liked a lot from Casey's game is, even when things didn't go as well as he wanted maybe in training camp, he continued to work on his game, and I thought he got better throughout the entire training camp. I thought he played very well, making those small, tight plays in the game in Pittsburgh there. Look, I thought it was going to be a great mix there with Connor Sheary right off the bat. It's disappointing that Connor's out right now, because I think he can be a player that helps Casey along and just have some good matchups along the way there and stuff. But we see the hockey sense. I think you see that with Ralph continuing to put Casey out there in power play situations. I think we have, you know, there's a lot of focus obviously on our first power play right now and the success of Victor Olofsson. But the fact that we have two really good units here right now that can be utilized out there helps things out a lot. And just that little power play experience, I think will hopefully help Casey through this development process.
All right. I think we're good. I always want to ask you, first visit of the year, this could go on forever, but, you know, we have a whole season. So
we got a whole season. We'll come back.
I would be negligent if I didn't ask about the big goalie. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, what's his situation?
Again, we're getting close to, again, hip surgery. We talked about it, the severity of the situation for a player like Zach Bogosian, well, especially for a goaltender, too.
Right.
And the great thing for UPL is he's been here all, you know, for the last few months here working with our guys, and it's been great. We hope to have a time frame in the near future here, but we don't have it exact right now, but we're hoping here to move the line, and everything's been going very well with his
was
rehab.
It the same procedure that Ullmark had a couple of years ago? I don't think you were here when Ullmark had it done, but do you know?
I couldn't tell you exactly with the exact extent from Ullmark's injury, but it was a situation where, and that's the beauty of what UPL did last year. You know, you win a gold medal at the World Juniors. You have be one of the best goalies in the Ontario Hockey League, and he was doing that with his injury throughout the entire time too. So, you talk about a player really taking a step for his development.
Yeah.
He's been interacting with us a lot, making that step going from Finland to Sudbury last year. We've really enjoyed working with him, and we'll certainly be patient with young goaltenders. You have to, but. Just his mental toughness that he's shown is something that we're excited about his potential.
When he gets healthy, will he go to Rochester?
He'll. That's a situation where he'll go to Rochester, and we'll decide whether he starts in Rochester or Cincinnati.
Okay, very good. Thank you for this.
No problem at
good
all.
Good luck tonight, and we'll see you in a few weeks or so.
All right, have a good evening, guys.
That is Sabre GM Jason Bottrell. His appearance with us here is brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, and by Fallsview Casino Resort, Niagara Falls, Canada.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.